Hi, and welcome to the Commit Your Dream podcast, where we dive into the lives of developers at CleverTech who have taken the reins on coding their own life. Learn and get inspired about how you can create a customized solution to live the life of your dreams.
Hi, everyone. It's your host, Natalie, and I'm back with another CleverTechian interview. Today's guest is Mikkel, a senior software developer at CleverTech, who has 7 years of software developing experience, and he currently resides in Mallorca, which is a beautiful island just east of Spain. We're so happy to have him here with us to talk about his experiences. Mikkel, welcome.
Hi, everybody, and hi, Natalie. Nice to meet you all.
My first question for you is very simple, but also packed and loaded. Who are you?
Well, as you say, my name is Mikkel, and I'm from Spain. I'm 30 years old. I'm currently living in an island called Mallorca. It's really known for its touristic holidays. I live most of my life here in Mallorca, although then I studied in Barcelona, then moved to Stockholm. I also went to Finland 1 year, then to Madrid, and finally, I came home again. I'm really happy to be working for CleverTech.
That's great. I just really love when people have traveled all over the place. And I love asking questions about it. So yeah. Tell me about maybe your history and how you're raised and your family structure.
Well, my parents are biology teachers, both of them. Well, they are retired now, but they used to be biology teachers. And I have an older sister, which is 5 years older than me. She's an architect. And because of my parents being teachers, education has always been like a really important topic or matter in my family. So they have been tough and really serious about having, getting good grades and being a really good student. So that was really important when I was in high school. So that's why I chose an engineering, because my parents felt so proud of me of doing such a hard degree. Because here, I don't know if in the United States or in other countries, but at least in Spain, telecommunications engineering is considered like one of the hardest engineerings here. So for me, it was a big challenge to do it. It makes me feel proud that my parents are happy of what I did.
So you seem like a person who really likes challenges, because obviously you were like, okay, my parents are biology teachers. They value intelligence. I'm going to go pick the hardest subject that there is out there, and I'm going to go ahead and learn it. I love that. Yes.
When I was in high school, I wasn't that good. I mean, I wasn't bad. I didn't fail, but I wasn't a 10 out of 10 guy. So doing an engineering that is like 90% mathematics was a big challenge for me. And it was kind of to demonstrate to my parents, to my friends, that I was able to do it.
That's so cool. Do you feel like you're better at math now?
Yes, of course. I mean, after spending 5 years being challenged exam after exam and your brain just burning day after day, yeah, you improve.
Nice. That's great. So that pretty much proves that practice over time and intentional practice, you can get anywhere you want to get to.
Yes, of course.
When you were just started out as a software developer, what was the hardest part for you? And do you feel like it's still hard for you now?
I actually became a software developer because when I was in the telecommunications engineering, I felt that when I was doing subjects related to programming, like for example, we did a few courses on C++, C, concurrent programming, I was able to think faster than in mathematics subjects, for example, or in physics subjects. I was able to resolve exams quicker than the others, better. It was like, it was on me. I mean, I felt really comfortable with programming. I think it's been more or less easy for me. But anyway, the good thing about software development is that every day the technologies are changing. It's a really dynamic work, at least the IT world where I'm working right now. So you have every day to learn new things. You cannot get stuck with an old technology, because otherwise companies are not going to want you and you are going to be fired soon. So for me, the big challenge of software development is every day trying to learn a new thing. Don't get stuck in old technologies. and learning continuously.
So do you feel like you learn a lot in your job today, or do you set aside time to make sure that you're learning something new?
I'm quite happy right now with my current job because in some previous job, I have some kind of empty spaces during my day where I had to do research on my own to learn because there weren't enough tasks or the job was boring. Maybe we were using, for example, as I said before, all technologies that don't motivate you. So I'm currently happy because I'm working with a new stack of technologies. I'm working with Kubernetes. I'm working with Terraform. I'm using the latest cloud providers like Google Cloud, Azure, Amazon Web Services. So I don't need to spend more time outside of my job to learn new things because the 8 hours that I spent here are quite entertaining and I'm quite happy to be here.
I know you work at CleverTech, we all do now, but tell me about your job before this, maybe your journey of getting different jobs. I know you had to move out of your hometown to do that. So take me through that journey.
Here in Mallorca, we have a small university, which doesn't have that many degrees. So most of the people that want to study major degrees, they go to the peninsula, which is, we are an island, so we go to Spain, where most of the cities are there. So people used to go to Madrid or to Barcelona. So I went to Barcelona and I studied this 5-year degree. And from there, I did my master thesis in Stockholm because in Europe, we have an international exchange program. So you can go to different universities to finish your degree or to do your master thesis. So I went to Stockholm to do my master thesis. And there I did a thesis related to GPS, so global positioning systems and stuff like that. I was using a hardware device, which was from a Swiss company. And when I finished my master thesis, since I have had some experience with this device, I look at the company webpage and I saw some jobs opening. So I just sent my CV and they got me and they had an office in Finland. So I end up in Finland. Really weird to be there, but yeah, I moved from Barcelona to Sweden and then to Finland. And then I spent a year there, but to be honest, the job was quite good. I have a good salary, but social life, as most of you people know, is not the best thing in Finland. So it was cold, difficult to make friends, and raining all the day. Yeah, not where a Mallorca guy is used to. And finally, I decide to go back to Mallorca with my family, my girlfriend, my friends. And the problem of being in Mallorca is that it's difficult to find a proper job because here, as I said before, is like the industry is 100% tourism. So I found a tourism booking company, like it could be Expedia or Booking or TripAdvisor. So they have this engine to gather information about hotels, flights, etc. And I work there as a DevOps, as I work here. But at some point, I wanted to look for a better thing, a better job. And I found CleverTech. It was difficult to find challenging jobs here in Mallorca, at least working on site. So having the possibility to work for CleverTech, where I can work for companies across the world, and having really good social benefits, salaries. It was like a really point in my life where I'm quite happy now.
To summarize, you basically went off to find a great job, but then your social life and your personal life is really suffering. Yep. And you kind of bit the bullet and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this for a couple of years. But then when you decided to come back to Mallorca to increase the happiness in your personal life and your social life, your work life started suffering. So, but now I'm really glad to hear that both sides, personal and work life, are fulfilled because you sound like you're a really happy person, Mikkel.
Yes, I am. I came back here. I bought a house. I don't want to move. But at the end, if, as we talk, I have the perfect balance of social life and a job, I cannot ask for anymore.
Yeah, that's great. So what do you do outside of work? What are your hobbies?
I've been a soccer, football, how we call it, the player until 18 years old. Then at the university and in my first jobs, I used to swim or go to the gym. Then I did also some martial arts, boxing. I continue with swimming. And now since 1 year ago, I bought the bike, thanks to CleverTech, by the way, with the personal development fund. And I just fall in love with cycling. And I spend a lot of hours on the bike. The fact of having to work at home can be overwhelming sometimes. But then if you can have this possibility of escape, I don't know how to express it, to go outside and enjoy life outside, and the bike give me this, is awesome.
And then in your own words, what does freedom, mastery, and purpose mean to you?
Well, hard questions. Freedom at the end is having the possibility and the information, and then having the possibility of decide what you want to do. Once you have the information of the different choices that you have in life, wherever it is, I mean, in a job or social life, and then having the possibility to decide what you want to do or what is better for you. Mastery for me, it's experience. I mean, it's spending time doing a thing. Sometimes since I have changed, as I told you, between sports, the only sports that I have practiced for a long time is football. But now that I'm cycling, for example, and I see people that have been cycling for 20 years, it's just amazing. For me, this is mastery. Spending time on one thing, focused on that thing, not being lazy of doing that thing. So for me, mastery is equal to time, to spending time with one thing.
I've never heard anybody explain it that way, but I quite resonate there. Like I think about, so recently my husband got me a piano for Christmas. And so I put it up and I sat down at it, and I haven't played piano, or I haven't had a piano in my home for 4 years, ever since I moved away from my parents' house. And I sat down and just started playing, just like all the songs I remembered. And my husband was so impressed because he was like, wow, how long? I knew you played piano, but how long did you play? Because it's almost like you've never let it go, even though you haven't played in 4 years. And I told him I was playing piano and I was in lessons for 14 years of my life. So when you said, oh, wow, the mastery is what you focus on and what you've spent time in, I can proudly say, which I've never proudly said before, that I have mastered playing piano. And no, I'm not like the best or anything, but the way that you defined it, that was really special.
Yeah. Time is the only thing that you cannot buy, right? I mean, you can buy courses, you can buy whatever degrees, whatever you want, but time, I mean, that's, when I say, yeah. What I said to you before.
Yeah, time is a currency that we can't make or get back.
exactly.
Right. So, and then lastly, what does purpose mean to you?
Well, I think they are related in some manner. I mean, purpose for me is having an objective, and having this objective is what keeps you motivated. At least for me, that when I do one thing, I like to be 100% on it. To do it as better as I can. So for me, objective purpose is having a motivation in your life and what keeps me alive.
Awesome. Well, that pretty much closes our session with you, Mikhail. Thank you so much for spending time and interviewing with us. This is for all of the software developers who are starting out there. If you could look back to yourself all those years ago when you first got a job, what advice would you give yourself then? What's the one thing that you would say?
Don't be afraid of asking questions to your teammates or to the people that surrounds you, because at the end you can get a lot of information from other people. Maybe bad information, but at some point this bad information is going to make you better, because you're going to be able to discern, to choose what's good and what's bad and who's good or who's bad. So don't hesitate asking to people.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And thank you so much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks to you and to the people who's hearing the podcast, and hope to see you soon and talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We have an incredibly ambitious goal to reach 5,000 subscribers by the end of the summer. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, it would mean the world to us if you hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. And if you genuinely love this podcast or feel like your friends and family could benefit, please share it with them. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn by simply searching CleverTech. And don't forget to check out our careers page if you're ready to commit your dream.